Blog Talk Radio.
Motherfucker, you bet against the metal hammer of doom and you're gonna lose. That's right, this is the metal hammer of doom, and I am your very excited host, the Mandated Reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified, Mr. Mark Rattledge. And tonight, we are reviewing Strong Island Zone, Stray from the Path, only death is real, baby dolls. And the gang's all here. Hey, the gang's all here. We got the first and the second chairs tonight. Of course, my co-host with the most, been doing this with me since the beginning, finally on a working schedule where we can actually do a podcast consistently, Mr. Robert Cooper, how do you do, sir?
I do a lot better than my DirecTV box right now. It's just not turning on.
Why? I don't feel
it's
like
a,
I have
a true
your
national tragedy,
sir.
Mark.
Why are you watching TV? You are supposed to be metal faithful. You are supposed to be 100% committed to this podcast. What are you watching on DirecTV that you're distracted?
I was going to watch a 1920 silent film called The Monster. Thank you, Turner Classic Movies. Well, I mean, you could watch
it
silent. I mean, I used to make fun of my dad for watching it. Now I'm like, oh, hello there, foreign silent films.
All right, let's turn away from Frenchie for a moment, and let's bring on the disapproving dad, the host of Source Material in his own right, Mr. Jesse Starcher. Break, motherfucker.
I swear. You know what would have been nice was to have a break from a three-hour fucking banquet that I had to sit through 5 minutes ago.
Just a
bunch I finally
of
get home.
Off.
Dude, I'm telling you what, I've never been so thankful for everybody finally getting thanked and me being able to get the hell out of there. Yes, I did have some Kentucky Fried Chicken, but that did not make me feel comfortable sitting in a chair in a cafeteria at a middle school for 3 hours. So, thank you very much. I'm ready to talk about Strong Island. Mark, that's your old stomping ground,
isn't
it?
That goddamn right. Born and raised. Born and bred. I was born on Strong Island, New York. Grew up the first part of my life in Uniondale, in the all-black neighborhood. And then I moved to the all-white neighborhood, but talked like a black kid, and then got made fun of. And then I stopped talking like a black kid, and then everybody else started talking like black people. What the fuck?
And then you're like, people, pick one.
Trendsetter.
Exactly. I believe that is exactly what I said. I was just like, motherfuckers, I was down before all any of y'all. Because I grew up in the mean streets of Long Island. See, there's a friend of mine who, if he heard me saying that, would be throwing things at me right now.
The mean streets of Long Island where everybody talks like black people.
Exactly. Uniondale in the hood. All right. It's enough about my stupid past. We're talking straight from the past tonight. Only death is real. Let me go over to Robert Cooper here because I know how much he loves the metalcore. Are you excited about this, sir? you're like your first show back. You missed Marilyn Manson. You missed Cradle of Filth. Your first show back is straight from the path. How do you feel, sir?
You know, I wasn't super de-duper excited coming in. I was like, this is going to we'll see how this is. And I looked at, the song length. I'm like, it's just not a – there's a lot of short songs. I'm like, great, this is going to be a real hardcore tinge metalcore album. And you know what? After listening to this album, I really liked it. The vocals gave a real Rage Against the Machine vibe to them. There's a lot of Zach De La Rocha worship in here. And, it was politically charged, which is, I'm really not all that surprised. And we get reference to an Adam Sandler film. So I'm really hoping that in our next few
gonna
albums,
be great.
We're going to get references to movies like, like Click, Jack and Jill, the Ridiculous
Punch
Six.
Drunk Love.
Six?
No, I.
Yeah,
here's
Punch
the
Drunk,
thing.
Well, Punch Drunk Love is a classic.
I don't
funny
think
people.
He's
Punch Drunk.
No. I don't think he's shooting for Adam Sandler flicks. I honestly think it's something to do with game show hosts. Adam Sandler just happens to be caught in a crossfire.
Can I just go ahead and say before this goes any further?
Between a New York metalcore band.
Punch Drunk Love sucks. Okay.
You do not like Punch Drunk
Love. It's the worst movie ever. No, it's horrible.
No,
never seen it.
The worst movie ever is Marmaduke.
Ew. Never seen that one either.
The same plot as Mean Girls, Mark Rattledge. The same plot as Mean Girls.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Interesting.
All right, Jesse, have you ever heard of Stray from the Path before? I mean, I know I brought them up on our best of show last year where, you guys were picking songs that we had already heard. I picked songs that we never got to from 2016. And one of those was The House Always Wins, which was actually released on Election Day. That was one of my favorite songs that we never had a chance to cover. What was your thoughts here on Stray from the Path?
Well, I had no idea what I was getting into. I just know that right out the gate, I was extremely pleased compared to what I was subjected to the last 2 weeks with Marilyn Manson and fucking Cradle of Filth. So
you didn't like Cradle of Filth?
Oh, Cooper. I would have traded places with you in a heartbeat, probably. It was not my thing. No, sir.
Oh.
But let me tell you, it was a very educational episode, right, Mark Rattledge?
Yeah, I was actually telling my wife that I'm like 8/10 Satanist, right, Melissa? Yep, she's nodding her head.
That's right. You missed it, Coop. Last week when we were talking Marilyn Manson, I went through the 11 principles of Satanism, and Mark Rattledge is a majority Satanist.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Perfectly reasonable tenets of Satanism.
This kind of makes me feel like that time my buddy was given a sociopath test, and he scored very well. And then our other friend who was like, let me see. And then he's like, hey, guys, I'm high, too. I was like, yeah, Josh, we knew you were a fucking sociopath.
Some people
none
you just know.
None of this
know.
Is news. All right. Well, like I said, I discovered Stray from the Path last year. Sirius Satellite Radio was playing The House Always Wins. I became obsessed with that song. I think it's just the greatest thing ever. So I was very excited to hear more from this band, Stray from the Path. Then I got super excited when I found out they were from Long Island. I'm like, oh, hometown boys. So I'm happy to throw some of the much vaunted and ballyhooed Metal Hammer of Doom attention their way.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, sir. Mm-hmm. So we'll go ahead and get into this tonight. Here we go. Now, this first one here, I it's kind of just an intro to the album. It's only a minute and 30 seconds. It's kind of a song, but not really. It depends on how you look at it. It's the opening move. You'll find throughout this album. In fact, the last song, Only Death Is Real, I believe, that they get into Don't Hate the Player, Hate the Game again. Let's just go ahead and plow forward here, and then we'll go back and talk about both of them. This is the first full song on the album. This is Loudest in the Room. Robert mentioned before there were shades of Rage Against the Machine in here, and that is the just now saw what you posted, and that definitely rings true here. I was before Robert said it. I was actually thinking that on the way home as I was listening to this album. There's definitely a lot of call-outs to Rage Against the Machine in the styling of this album. So, what did you think of these first two tracks there, Mr. Cooper?
First track, I wasn't like super duper impressed with at first. I thought it was solid. It definitely excited me more than I thought it would. Again, that's actually a lot of this album because the occasional snippet that I heard before that, and just kind of looking like, oh, Straight from the Path. That sounds like a good old core band. Can't wait. But then once we hit the second song. The second song, I really felt like kind of made me realize, like, okay, this is a lot more of a hardcore band than this is more of the core than the metal, if that makes sense. It has a lot more of that hardcore feeling, and I really feel like it kind of reminds me of some of the more, I guess maybe just because of the political content, just a lot of your more, some of the occasional straight edge metal band, core band, well, Minor Threat on occasion. I enjoyed Minor Threat. Back when I used to be like, yeah, guys, I'm straight edge, yeah. And then my mom demanded I take that straight edge stuff off my MySpace because she thought they were all skinheads. Ain't that something?
Nope.
Speaking of Adam Sandler, your mom is a living embodiment of they're all going to laugh at you bit.
They're all going to laugh at you.
Yeah, she Googled it, and she's like, straight edge, that's a bunch of, those are a bunch of skinhead. You need to get, I don't want any of that on your MySpace. Yeah, MySpace, man, that was the shit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I know a girl who there's two reasons she doesn't have a Facebook page. The first reason is she just never migrated from MySpace to Facebook for some strange reason. But the other one was she was telling me that she didn't know that you can't threaten people on Facebook page and not end up in jail. And apparently when she was a kid, she threatened some girl on Facebook and took a trip to the juvenile detention center. So that's the other reason she doesn't have a Facebook page.
Oh,
I find her hilarious.
Because she couldn't stop doing trashy shit like threatening to kill people over Facebook.
Apparently she was defending herself. That's her story, and she's sticking to it.
Right. Uh-huh. And I am the Pope.
Pope D'Angelo De Niro. All right, great. Jesse, do your thing. What'd you think?
No, I just wanted to say that I had no idea, had no clue what I was getting into when this album started. Usually you throw a band our way, what we're going to cover next week. I pop it in, usually don't do any research before listening. So I had no idea what to expect. And you do get a taste of what these guys are all about right here at the beginning. It's politics, and it's in your face, and it's aggression. So be ready, because the next song we're going to get into is probably one of the most aggressive songs I've heard all year.
All right, and that's I couldn't do a better intro myself, so let's do it. This is one of their singles from the album that got them in trouble with right-wing groups due to its lyrics. This is Good Night, Alt-Right. About killing the orcs and flying on top of a dragon. Some songs are about being fucked with an anchor. This song's about punching Nazis.
That's right.
just
beautiful.
Turning the lights out on Nazis. That's what that song is all about. You just got knocked the fuck out. Jesse, I'll go to you first. Isn't that a great song? I mean,
dude,
I'll tell you, can you just, I just want you to picture something really quick before I let you talk.
Yeah.
On tour, coming to a town near you, fucking up shit. The fucking up shit 2017 tour. Stray from the Path, Prophets of Rage, Body Count. Come on. Can we get this tour going? Let's just get the most blunt fucking idiots on stage yelling at us. Can we do that?
It's funny because I think Body Count might be one of the more, I don't know, conservative of the three bands that you put on that tour.
Drones.
Drone.
They
no, that's
fly
not
over.
The parade. They fly over. They fly over.
The first concert's going to get like blown up by drones. Just you watch.
Oh, man. This song right here, though, man, when I first heard it, I was like, are they really? They're singing about punching Nazis. And now, if you were on Facebook at any point in time here, at least within the last 5-6 months, I mean, you saw a Nazi getting punched, either it be a video or a meme in some way, some gif that just popped up randomly. And boy, oh boy, that these guys, it's so wonderful to hear them sing about it too. It's a great song. I really do love the momentum and the just in your face mentality this song takes. So I'm a fan of this one. This really pleased me when I heard it. I was like, oh man, these guys are good. Now, the thing is that I may give them a little bit too much credit because early in the album, but we'll get to that as we go on. I'll turn it over to you, Coop.
This song gave me POD vibes.
Yeah. You know what? Before you say another word, I just want you to know I really dig POD. I like their stuff.
I haven't listened to enough of them since I've become like a real metalhead to make judgments on them. I used to enjoy them back in middle school when I, had an affinity for Jesus music on occasion. Not like any like real. I mean, I love Switchfoot and shit. And I went to a Baptist church. God bless me. God, I wish that church would burn down.
Whoa!
Oh
word?
My!
Well, I mean,
went from punching Nazis
during
to burning churches.
Episode.
What the
well,
hell?
I mean, how did we get here?
Well, the reason why is because they were more concerned with preaching about politics. You know, when your whole Sunday school was about how to survive Obama's economic hell.
Yeah.
I think you should lose that tax exempt status. Just saying. Yeah, that was their favorite thing to do was politics. So they're like, yeah, you guys suck. They sucked. So yeah, that's why I get old. And I work right across the street from them, so I get to see that place every day. I'm like, God, I hate you fuckers. But yeah,
and if
songs
it burns
like
down, you are now. And if it burns down, you are now the number one suspect. I just want you to know that. All 30 people listening to this podcast will know.
Oh, I've said to people in person, I'm like, yeah, that church over there, God, I want it to burn down. And so, like, there you go. There's multiple people that can be like, yep, there you go. But yeah, I mean, this song, fucking awesome. Nice groove to it. Really good message about punching fucking Nazis. Now, if you don't like, love them. Is this the one? I don't know. There's one song about the melting pot, and if you don't like it, get the fuck out. I'm like, I love that. I love the twist on that, you know, the usual America, love it or leave it sort of thing. I get really tired of that fucking adage.
All right,
I don't know.
Let's go ahead and move on to Jesse Starch's favorite song off of this. Right from the land of game shows, this is Let's Make a Deal.
Everything has its price, but the price is wrong, bitch! Everything has its price, but the price is wrong, bitch! Everything has its price, but the price is wrong, bitch! Everything has its price, but the price is wrong, bitch!
This was written out of cash check, like the summer to lose on an all-in bet! Fear and loathing, so fucking statistics. Play the people like a game. They're a fucking
All right, that one's not too bad. Keeps up the same level of aggression. Doesn't quite have the beat and the swing of Goodnight Alt-Right, but still good. Still definitely getting that Rage Against the Machine vibe.
The beat and the swing of a song about punching Nazis. Good one, Mark. Totally unintentional, but a good one nonetheless.
Yeah, I honestly did not do that on purpose. Look at me punning about.
And the beat and the swing of a former hockey player beating the shit, getting to a fight with Bob Barker.
Oh, tying it all together, Robert Cooper.
Boom.
Speaking of hockey,
damn,
sticks,
I'm good.
Melissa and I have been sending each other sexual innuendo emojis. So, like,
oh, that's wonderful.
She sent me a cucumber. I sent her a taco. I sent her a hot dog and a taco. And then I was like, maybe that's not subtle enough. So I sent her two tennis balls and a hockey stick. And then she sent me back a peeled banana.
Oh. Yeah? Whoa.
Oh, no. She's going to fucking skin your dick.
I don't think that's what she implied.
You
want me to ask her?
You should have.
There is a circumcision joke in here somewhere.
I'm already.
Yeah, you should have.
I'm already.
I don't want to know, Mark. I don't want to know.
I am one of the chosen people. I have already gotten that business taken care of.
I don't want to know.
There's no recircumcision. There's no recircumcision. Just tape it back on.
No, yuck.
Still got
that's
it in a baggie.
Dirty penis. That's a dirty penis right there.
Did you say you've got it? Somebody's got it in a baggie? Oh,
yeah.
No.
Like kept it around,
the next
you know?
It's like on the next episode of Hoarders Buried Alive.
There's piles of stuff with dead cats. Dead cats buried under stuff, and then there's, you know, you come across a bag of your foreskin.
Even worse, you collect it.
Wow.
I don't think we're going to beat that one. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, right.
Then you make it halfway through the show
back, and I'm ready to do this podcast already. God damn.
Okay, let me just say, hold on, let's make a deal. My favorite song off the album, I hope they do, like, the next album is filled with, like, 10 more songs like that. So I really like this one.
All right, Cooper?
Everything's the devil to you, mama.
The devil?
Yeah, there you go. I mean, we're going to keep, maybe the next song. Next album is going to have an Opera
movies.
Man reference. Everything will be done in the style of Opera Man.
Wow. Okay. That's a reach back.
We have lost control of this podcast. Let's move on to track 5. They always take the guru.
right, Jesse, what did you think of that one?
Well, this unfortunately starts a downward slide for me in some of these songs off this album. This felt more like noise. I was trying to figure out the message of it because, again, like I've said many times, if I can put context to a song, I might appreciate it a little bit more. All I know is I'm sure it's something to do with politics, but I could not pick out what in the hell they were so mad about that they had to be screaming all the time.
Yeah, the song was just, it was kind of repetitive. It was just kind of there. In terms of musicianship, it's not really a ton there. It's just kind of da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I mean,
yeah.
We've all kind of heard that. We've all heard that riff before. It's an oldie but a goodie.
Oh, hold on. I'm on genius.com right now, and somebody put in here, this song is very clearly, unfortunately it's not, but it says this song is very clearly written about the passing of Tom Searle, guitarist of the British metal band Architects and close friend of all the members of Straight from the Path. So it's either pronounced Tom Searle or Tom Surly.
Surly,
Tom,
I would not know.
Dooley. Hang your head and cry.
Sure. But again, I don't know what happened.
Someone left my cake out in the rain.
Out in the rain.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to have to go back and revisit that. I forgot all about that song.
How could you?
So
I know, dude. Someone left the cat out in the rain.
And someone left that cat out in the rain.
So wait, you guys have never heard Tom Dooley by the Kingston Trio? Hang down your head,
no.
Tom Dooley. Hang down your head and cry. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Poor boy, you're bound to die. No?
I have now.
Nope, I can't say. This isn't like that time in Goodwill where they played Dominic the Italian Christmas Donkey.
I know that song.
Well, I won't make Jesse go grab the Kingston Trio's Tom Dooley. I do recommend you listen to it. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down
the
your
Dooley
head.
Hammer
and
of
cry.
Doom.
All right. Yeah, that one's kind of, I can give or take it. Let's move on to number six here. This is Plead the Fifth.
Yeah, I'm trying to fucking lose it.
don't like it, then get the fuck out!
I didn't want to stop it. It's so good. That song is the best. Welcome to the melting pot, motherfucker. If you don't like it, get the fuck out. Oh,
how
these
many,
guys are lyrical geniuses.
How many songs on this album do you think are directly towards Trump?
All of them.
Okay. I will definitely give you that one. I mean,
yeah.
No mistaking, they're not huge fans. I mean,
no,
you know,
they
when
are. Not.
The House always wins. They did not. They weren't like huge fans of Hillary either. This is definitely one of those groups where, you know, if we interviewed them, they would be going, "Oh, you know, everybody in the government sucks," and you know, we weren't huge fans of Hillary either. You know, it's just you can't trust anybody in the government. I mean, it's not like the House Always Wins was just about Republicans or whatever. It was basically no matter who you vote for, you're fucked, and there's no getting around that. But getting back to Plead the Fifth, there, dude, I love the beat of that song. First of all, that again, they really did like Rage Against the Machine may be gone, but their spirit lives on with this band, especially on this album. This is fucking great. I mean, if they didn't if the House Always Wins wasn't on this, Plead the Fifth would be my favorite song on here. I was up that came on. I was up dancing around my living room.
And I've seen the man dance. Coop, you can too at some point if you get on Messenger there. Check it out. Mark Radulich shared a wonderful, wonderful video earlier. If you do it on, if you can do that while you're on the podcast, did you see it?
No.
Watch it. Just watch it when you get, if you can bring it up, watch it while you're on the podcast because I want a reaction. All right. Yeah, I agree with you, Mark. This is a great song. But again, I can't say much else other than, I mean, politically charged. Coming at you. Be ready.
It is definitely so. Charged. Cooper, I want to give you an opportunity to react to the little snippet of video I sent in Messenger. Can we do that before we hear the next song?
Fuck.
There's audio too. Make sure you can hear it.
Oh, I can hear it. Looks like a send off. He looks like a turned away extra from a flash into the way he's dancing.
Oh my goodness!
You just got knocked the fuck out, Cooper. So let me explain that. Let me explain that really quick. What happened there was that I was running around the house just telling everybody to break themselves. You break yourself, motherfucker. Like my wife was in the kitchen making her lunch.
As she
I told her and I yelled out to her. I said, "You'll break yourself, motherfucker." And she went, "Okay." And I'm already taken, ladies. I just want to remind you of that. In any case, so I yell out to her like, "You'll break yourself." And instead of like running into the living room and running into the kitchen rather, I did like an old man shuffle and I was raising my fist in anger. And there was a lot of laughter,
goodness.
In the Radulich house. So I kept doing it because I can't let a joke just fucking die.
Oh, that's for
and
sure.
She was
here, horsey, horsey.
Come here, horsey. I do that at work now. It freaks everybody out. In any case. So anyway, so I kept doing the joke, and I said to her, I'm like, you know who would think this is funny? Jesse. So I said, here, record me doing it. Because I said to her, I want to be like a 90-year-old man shaking my cane at the kids in the neighborhood yelling, break yourself, motherfucker.
Oh, it's great stuff. Forever etched in the memory of Messenger. Thank goodness. Having a bad day,
yeah,
I will be turning to that video.
Somebody should make a ringtone out of it.
So if you don't understand, that's me as an old, doing an impression of an old man waving his cane around, yelling, "Yo, break yourself, motherfucker!" The house always wins. You bet against the house, and you'll always lose. I bring the joy here on the Metal Hammer of Doom. I just want everyone to know that.
Truth.
And I bring really shitty puns.
No, Coop, they're so respected.
Speaking of
That's
puns,
true.
Let's go over to track 7 here. This is Strange. Strange Fiction, give it to me.
I wasn't a big fan of this one. I don't know what it was that took me out of it, but I can tell you that it is definitely commendable that they have not slowed down. They have Sloan, that's S-L-O-W-N. They have not slowed down the pace here with this album. I mean, they don't take a back seat on any of these tracks. So that's probably the best thing they got going for them here is the fact they just keep the pace up. They keep blistering. Now, as to what this song is about, I don't know. I mean, it's almost – I'm looking at the lyrics right now. I'm trying to pick it apart. And the only thing I can think of is that it's about his confusion as a person. I really don't know. I know one of the things that he says over and over is it's like I got the wrong pieces to this fucking puzzle. So I don't know if he's just having a hard time figuring out his place on Earth or, you know, just having a hard life altogether. I have no idea. But because he says another lapse in judgment, a lapse in time, have it become a moment in your mind. Was it fucking worth it after all? You can tell that there's a lot of themes throughout the lyrics that it's like not self-loathing, but, you know, he's trying to figure out what's going on, and it's not working so well. Coop?
I just thought this song was a song. It was there. It was a thing. I think on the songs that I find less impressive on this album, I kind of see some of it. I chalk it up to the fact that the lyrics don't exactly, I guess, enthrall me. And then you look at the music. I mean, a lot of hardcore music really does rely on sort of intense repetition.
Mm.
Oh, intensity and repetition. Reputation? Repetition. Jesus, words. Yeah, I got that bad reputation, I tell you. Yeah. So this song's just kind of one of those. It had a lot of repeated lyrics. Overall, the song itself just kind of kept repeating, and while I do think that allows for a lot of memorability in the songs. Is memorability a word? I don't know.
Memorabilia.
It was a memorable song at the fact. Well, memorabilia is something totally different. but is,
I don't know if I can make
look
that.
Look what I got from Disney. Look what I got from Disney World, Diddy. I got some memorability. I'm just making new words up.
There you go.
The whole time, but yeah, I mean, I got the wrong piece of the puzzle. You know, I'm probably going to be remembering that one for a while, but that's just to the fact that I just kept saying it over and over.
Over and over, yes.
And over and over and over and
over,
hang down
over.
Your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head. Sorry.
I did want to say that this was the first of the next, well, this track and the next two tracks all have guest vocalists. And at the end of the song is when Keith Buckley from what I saw, he's from Every Time I Die. He shows up at the end, and I thought it was the same vocalist, and all of a sudden he sounds totally different. And I'm like, why the hell is he singing like this? Clearly, it's a different person.
Thanks, detective.
They should get Tom Dooley on this album.
Oh, yes, please. hang his head down low.
That's right. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. All right, moving right along, Footloose and Fancy Free. This is track 8 as we start to wind down this album. This is A Hard Day's Night. No, this is All Day and a Night.
Okay. Mark, this song has got to be like, if you listen to these lyrics, you should, of all songs off of this album, potentially identify with this one more. All right. And I'm going to read you verse one here. I'm going to read you verse one. You tell me what you think. All right. You give us your opinion, sir.
I am 8/10 Satanist. Go.
We established that last podcast. Now this one. All right, here we go. First one, three strikes, 25 to life. Mandatory lean. Now, I'm not saying that all these lyrics are absolutely correct. I'm completely reading them off genius.com. Mandatory lean on either forgiving them or killing them. Public defender might as well surrender. I bet they don't remember who's a first-time offender. In and out like a homemade check. I think he said shank, but I want to say in and out like a homemade check. That's what they're saying here.
I heard check.
Did you hear check? Okay. In and out like a homemade check. Send him back to the maximum security bank. Post the bail. Cut the deal. Another brick in the wall. Another spoke in the wheel. Mark Radulich, justice system opinion. Do you agree, disagree?
No, I agree. I get
right.
What he's – I get – I am picking up what he's putting down there. What did you think of it, Jesse?
Oh, well, the song kicks ass, man. I think it's another one of the brighter spots off this album, in my opinion. Rocks hard, and it's in your face again, keeping up the pace. I'll rhyme something else with it. Coop,
keeping up the pace. It's a race.
Save me.
Oh, God, ma'am, please put down the maze.
Nah, good one. Good one.
Oh, boy. He made a rhyme and
like
it wasn't
a fire
time.
Has been lit on my face. I'm currently burning like Trump with his base.
Boom.
Oh, boo. Boo.
Did you guys know that the Radulich and Broadcasting Network did at one time... I should say at one time, I can say that Source Material has had an anti-fascist on as a guest.
Okay. Tell us about that.
No, oh, well, he's our good friend, Dean Compton, from Compton After Dark, an unabashed anarchist. And when I hear this album, it really, really, really takes a restraint for me not to want to share it with Is that bad? I mean, do you guys ever have that, like, oh my gosh, this person would love this music? I mean, that's common, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. No, this past weekend, one of the medical providers that I worked with, she works the opposite shift from me, but she happened to have traded shifts with the person I normally work with. And she was a lot more accepting of listening to whatever music I put on, because the other one is like, oh, your music gives me a headache. All music gives me a headache. I am joyless. In any case.
I am barren in the womb.
So she's not, you know, so the person I worked with this weekend was like, yeah, man, play DJ, whatever you want to put on to pass the time, as long as it's not really busy. Yeah, I'll be more than happy. You know, so far what I've played for her, she's like, and you know, like I didn't play like a lot of heavy stuff for her. I mean, I don't mean, you know, I am in a work environment. I don't want to be like, yo, break motherfucker. You know, while we're trying to be patient. So I try to keep it civil, but like I played for her some Concrete Blonde, and then some Jeanette Napolitano, who's the singer for Concrete Blonde, some of her solo stuff, and I played like Eve's Plum, and I kept it around that pace, and she really liked it. And then I also played for her Clutch, because that was a whole other thing that was happening. Yeah, I turned her on to Clutch, which she liked.
Obligatory.
I played for her some other stuff, but in any case, I'm all, you know, like part of it is I'm all about wanting to turn people on to music. I think what frustrates me is like I work with some girls who, you know, they've already decided what it is they're going to like and not like, and they won't give anything that I play for them a chance. Though one of them in particular went out of her way to like play some stuff for me today because she was like, oh, you should listen to this. This is, but I think it's more of like, you should listen to what I like because I'm great. Like, okay.
It's like, okay.
It has nothing to do with wanting to like share music, and you know, like I'm more in, like wanting to turn people on to things they, you know, that I think they would like that they might not have ever come across before. Whereas she was just like, I'm awesome. Listen to whatever I like. What you like is dumb. So, and we all know those kinds of people, right? You know what I'm talking about, Jesse.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Robert Cooper, you know what I'm talking
about.
Sounds
like a bitch.
She's an okay kid. I wouldn't call her a bitch.
Sounds like she really loves Florida Georgia Line.
Oh,
she
no.
She probably does. She probably does.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Say,
okay.
Like, yeah, this song reminded me, though, of lyrically of Kick the Chair by Megadeth. I mean, remember that
Explain.
Song off of the system
yeah,
failed.
I was going to say, I don't it's been a while since I heard that one.
Pick a card from the menu, pick a sentence and defend you, and pay the down payment called bail.
Oh. Oh,
the system's for sale. Yeah, then kick the chair.
He's wrote a couple justice related songs then, because we all love the what's the one off of Countdown?
Captive Honor.
Yes,
your soul better belong
honor.
To Jesus, because your ass belongs to me.
Yes.
Why?
What do you mean, life?
I don't got a life.
Oh, I love David Mustaine and Megadeth. My goodness. Goodness.
Hello,
so,
me.
Actually,
meet the real me.
Hello, me. This is the new me. So that does bring up a point that I wanted to talk about really quick as we get to my favorite song of the album. And that is, I find myself, like, when we listen to Megadeth and some of these older fucks that are complaining about the government, like, I was thinking about that. Like, I'm so digging this album, and I'm not annoyed in the least by these idiots yelling about the government and Donald Trump and all of that. But, like, I'm like, yeah, fuck the government. You know, I'm into it. I dig what they're saying. But I feel like these are young dudes who are supposed to be angry and obnoxious. And I'm happy that there's somebody out there making angry and obnoxious music because I do tend to enjoy it. But then I was thinking, like, didn't I complain earlier this year or last year, whenever it was we listened to the new Megadeth album about, like, okay, old man Mustaine, stop complaining. And I know I've done that before where, like, we've listened to these, like, older bands complaining about the government. And it's like, all right, shut up, you know. And I can't stand it. And it's like, okay, so apparently I'm ageist, and I only like it when young morons complain about the government, and I'm not really into the old men who should know better.
Oh, well, I mean, here's the thing. I'll give you my honest reaction. When I first heard the first song off of this album, I was like, oh fuck. I've got to put up with these guys bitching about. I got to put up with these kids bitching about how they don't want to, you know, go back to where you came from. If you don't like it, get out of here. That's what I, you know, that was kind of like the mentality I had, because they were going to bitch about the fact that they had to put up with all this stuff. The government's doing this to us. And, I'm just so mad about, well, then, you know, as I went through the album, I don't know, dude. Maybe it's a combination of the music coming in there and providing that bit of, okay, well, what they're saying, I may not agree with, but I'll be damned if I don't like the way the song sounds. Which is
right.
You know, there's plenty of songs out there that really are on that line of, oh gosh, you know, this guy's a fucking idiot. But damn, that's a damn good song. So,
right?
You know,
right?
That's kind of representative of what they could do throughout this whole album. So that's a tribute, to be honest, to the good musicianship that they have in their favor. Albeit it may be repetitive at some points, but if they can make you like a song, but you don't like the message, that's a good job.
All right, you want to – what's the last word on this there, Mr. Cooper?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't mind the content as much, I guess, because I have to work around a bunch of old white men that really loved in some Trump. So it doesn't bother me as much.
Are you a millennial, Coop?
I guess you can say I fall in it, sure.
Okay, all right. Well,
damn millennials.
What is there to guess? What? Well, look it up really quick, because millennials, that's an actual, like Generation X, you know, or the greatest generation. If you fall between a certain, being born during certain years, you are, in fact, a millennial. Someone want to look this up for me? Because I'm busy.
I've got it right now.
All right, let's get it.
Millennials, straight off Wikipedia, millennials, also known as Generation Y, are the demographic cohort following Generation X, believe it or not. There are no precise dates for when this cohort starts or ends. Demographers and researchers typically use the early 1980s as starting birth years and the mid-1990s to early 2000s as ending birth years. So, yes, Robert Cooper would definitely fall within one of those.
Now, you're like me. You're Generation X.
That's right.
The only time I ever hear anyone say millennial is usually in a negative connotation. I rarely feel like it's something seen as a good thing, which is funny because
there's no such thing as a good millennial.
Yeah, you know, I think it's funny though. I feel like millennials get a really bad rap, and which, I mean, some of it's justified, sure, but I mean, I'd say
it's
that they pretty much.
It's all
I'll
justified.
Push you. I'd honestly say that, I don't see that much of a difference between millennials and, the young people of other generations. I mean, young people are going to be young people, old people are going to bitch about it, they're ruining America, blah, blah, blah. My dad used to tell me. My dad used to tell me, your music's garbage. I'm like, yeah, your dad probably said the same thing. Congrats.
You know what I have to say about the young people? You just got knocked the fuck out. Sorry. All right. This is our second to last track of the night. This is the best track of the album. This is fucking amazing. Picture me in your living room waving a cane at you doing an old man shuffle. This is The House Always Wins.
Your own master, not to intervene. The blind lead, the blind vision is safe. How you left
I may have to walk around work tomorrow telling everybody, you'll break, motherfucker.
Oh, my goodness. I tend to wonder if it's got to happen. Either the inmates or your coworkers know something sometimes is wrong with you, or at least know a podcast must have happened the night before. Well, here's Mark again. He had a podcast last night. Oh, he's been listening to that album
in the air.
Just
yeah,
about
it is a known fact that I'm a little touched.
Do I need to get the doll to find out where?
No.
Oh, jeez. My. Where are we going with this? I love that song. That is just the best. I raved about it earlier this year. I don't necessarily need to go into it again. Just know that song is just fucking awesome. I love it. I love every bit of it. It's the greatest. It's such an aggressive, angry song. I love the lyrics to it. You know, we're fucked no matter who we choose. There's a sentiment there, which, you know, you very much, you could absolutely go along with that. You know, no matter who you vote for, they don't look after your best interests. I mean, and I don't need to get up on like my soapbox about it. If that's how you feel, great. That's the song for you. If you don't feel that way, if you feel like, no, there are some good politicians out there and they are looking out for people, then great, you know, that's fine. But, you know, these people, they believe that no matter who runs for president, no matter who you vote for, they don't look out for the little guy. And, you know, I'll tell you, the whole album, but especially that song, definitely gets at the heart of what's going on in the national conversation in a very, very basic way. So, you know, I dug it. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, I really dug that. I felt like it was very representative of how this past election cycle went. I mean, I kind of felt like nobody gave a fuck about me, which is pretty much true. Like, at the end of the day, nobody usually gives a flying fuck. It's usually kind of about self-interest, or at least somebody's interests, or interest groups, or interest groups.
Well, I'll go ahead. I'll step in here, and I'll read apparently a segment from an interview from the guitarist Tom Williams, and this was about the song. And again, I don't think it does much other than just support exactly what Mark has said about these guys and their political views. But here we go. It says, "It almost seems that this election was begging for us to take a swing at it. We watched Trump bid for the Republican candidacy against people like Cruz and Christie. We watched Hillary actually steal the Democratic candidacy from a guy who was drawing millions of people around the country and funding his campaign off of millions of donations, averaging at $27 from real people. While Hillary was drawing crowds of less people than Stray from the Path can draw at a random show in Tennessee. It was wrong. These two candidates are wrong. A two-party program is wrong. We have a circus going on while Native Americans at the Dakota Access Pipeline are victims of terrorism at the hands of the oil companies that purchased this election. Not a word about it from anybody. No help." So you can clearly see. I mean, as if you couldn't tell by the lyrics, these guys are, oh, man, can I use a term such as politically woke? Coop, am I allowed?
No. No.
As a millennial, I allow you to use the terminology
I got allowed.
Of my people.
Shove it, Mark. I got allowed.
And as a Generation Xer, I'm going to override him and say, no, you can't, you old fuck.
Yeah, I mean.
Christ, I don't, unless you're talking past tense that you woke up, I don't want to hear you use the word woke again. Jesus Christ.
You know,
good
I can't
Lord.
Wait for the next album to where they have a tribute to Al-Qaeda.
To what? The
what?
Al-Qaeda?
You don't remember Y'all Qaeda?
Y'all-Kai, that was the,
what the
that
fuck
was
is Y'all-Kai?
That group of that was the group of like 60 militia people that had taken over some post or something. Sometime last year, it was like 60 white
guys
in a militia.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. And
they were nicknamed Y'all-Qaeda.
Y'all, I'm looking here. There it is.
Oh, that's fantastic.
that's funny.
Y'all-Qaeda.
Y'all-Qaeda the
God,
musical. First result on YouTube, by the way.
Oh, God.
Fan-fucking-tastic. God bless America.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean...
All right.
Like, I still, that's one thing I remember from that, like, at all, was like, yep, Y'all-Qaeda. That's a great name.
Works.
It does. All right, let's wrap this up here with our last track. This is our title track only. Too long. All right. whoops. I got a little.
Sometimes
distracted.
I sit there and I'm like, and now the thing is that these songs, a lot of these songs are so short, you can't really gauge. And you're like, oh shit. And then I start to worry, like you may have fell asleep or something. I'm like, he wasn't yawning a second ago. And I'm like, okay, so he finally hit the stop button. I was worried about you, Mark.
Well, on the Jesse's final Metal Hammer of Doom.
Jesse's done a lot of podcasts with me. He's like, oh, there's always the possibility I could be asleep.
yes, that. Well, I still love the one. What's that noise? What is that damn noise? Who left the fan on?
I've had a rough year. Leave me alone. All right, so. Overall, this has been one of my favorite albums this year. I absolutely love this. I love just straight up fucking anger. You know, I mean, we listen to a lot of like death metal and black metal on here. I listen to a lot of growling. This one, you know, I know Robert Cooper is not the hugest fan of like metalcore and stuff like that. But it does give rise to some beautifully angry, intense music. And I just had a ball listening to this. We've listened to a lot of, you know, we've done almost a show a week, every week since the year started. And I have to say, I'm like with Body Count and some of the other ones that we've done, this has probably been one of the more fun ones for me to listen to that didn't involve pirates. So, A, I'm just going to go ahead and straight up give this one an A. I loved it. I, you know, look, was every song a zinger? No. But overall, they brought the intensity. They brought the anger. They brought the fire. They brought that punk rock spirit, that political intrigue. It's just a great, fun album for you to scream, you know, fuck you. I won't do what you tell me, government.
All right, I'll go next, Coop. Here we go. All right, look, Straight from the Path is unequivocally divisive. You're not going to be able to give this album to Uncle Jesse down there, who's you know, possibly rather right wing. All right, well, just put that out there. I don't know. That might even come on the CD case. Do not give this to your right wing uncle. But
your white wing. I mean, really,
your white wing.
You want your uncle with you want your uncle with the dark meat. Oh no.
Coop, I just want to say that you said a lot of things that have taken me by surprise tonight. That's one of them. Burning churches is probably another. Probably one of the most offensive things I've ever heard you say.
You know, I was sitting in the break room at work, and I was like, yeah, you know, we got that one manager. He's like young guy, long hair with a beard. And this one day I came up and looked at the other manager. I'm like, oh, hello, fearless leader and leader of the Israelites. And then one night somebody else was like, I'm closing with the Queen of Lowe's. And I said, and the King of the Jews.
Oh my
god. Everybody's
gosh.
Like, how are you not fired? I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like,
it's not
offensive. It's a good joke. And they're like, oh shit, that's kind of blasphemous. Oops.
Whoops.
And then,
whoops.
And then you say, blast for me, blast for you, blast for everybody in the world.
Oh, wow.
But the Jews. Oh.
Anyway.
The Jews.
Back to wait. Please, let me finish. This album gets a thumbs up. I was very pleased with there's quite a few songs on here I really like. I'm glad I had the opportunity to listen to them for the first time. This is a good album, I think, to be introduced. These guys have been around for a while, though, so I may have to check out some of the back catalog. I'm curious as to whether their songs previously are somewhat as politically charged as this one. One of the things I remember Josh Calandra saying is that when a Republican gets in office, metal seems to take it up a few more notches. Well, I'll tell you what, if this is representative of what we're going to be getting in the next, like, 4 years, holy shit. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I turn it over to
Thank you,
Robert
Donald
Cooper.
Trump.
Blame Trump.
Everyone, thank you, Trump, kids. Thanks, Trump.
Thank you, Trump.
No, thanks, Trump. Yeah, as for this album, I give it a solid 4 to 5. Not everything is like, not everything super engaging, but what hits really hits. And it is the Bee's Knees, kids. There's a lot of left wing propaganda stuff in here, you know. It's not quite it. Well, I don't know. It might be on that MSNBC level, since MSNBC is left wing Fox News, let's be honest. Though, interestingly enough, former MSNBC contributor Melissa Harris Perry shops at my store like once a week. She's cool people.
Yeah.
I talk with her regularly. She's cool people. Well, regularly.
Cool.
Like when I see her like once a month. She's pretty neat. She's at Wake Forest now.
Cooper's
but,
got
yeah,
a crush. Cooper's got a
yeah,
crush.
You got a chance?
Well, no, actually, I did ask out a cashier, and she's like, oh, I have a boyfriend. And my way of getting out of this was absolutely fantabulous, because my exact words were, huh, I don't know why I didn't expect that as an option. shit. And then I just kind of just half-assed put a thumbs up there. I'm like, good job. Congratulations. She's like, for what? I'm like, you have a boyfriend. Good job. Good on you.
And
I just
awkward.
Walked off.
That is awkward.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yep. I didn't know how to, I didn't expect it.
I can feel your penis shriveling as you're telling the story.
Oh,
God. Your Audi has become an innie, sir.
Oh,
it was
man.
So bad. But you know what? Like, in terms of things that only I would say, I feel that's on the list, because that was so fucking... felt like I made it really awkward, which she was like, I've talked to her since. Like, she's cool. We're cool. She did just finish college.
I'm sure after hearing that, she thought you were like a special needs kid.
Well, no, she has gotten more or less the all the wide range that my jokes offer, so she knows what I'm capable of. God bless that poor girl. But, and she rolls her eyes a lot at my really shitty puns. But no, I was just like, oh, shit. Because I forgot that, like, a lot of people, you know, meet their significant others in college. So, holy shit, she's getting taken by the bed. Ha! Huh. Did she get falling asleep, bitch? Sorry, the movie's working. Yeah, I don't know. It was really awkward, but it gives something for the stand-up, you know? Because I got plenty of ammo for the stand-up.
Are you watching
now that
the bed that you stole?
No, I'm still watching The Beast. Which, you know, watching silent movies, I get to really, like, it's one of those things, I'm like, oh, it's definitely interesting, which is the second one I've watched for Halloween. The first one was The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, which it had a really awesome twist ending, which I was like, what the fuck? They're doing this in 1919? Like, you know, it's like, holy shit. Who saw that coming? Nobody did.
What a twist. All right. Folks, this has been the Metal Hammer of Doom. Let's get into plugs here. As Jesse said earlier, last week we covered the new Marilyn Manson album. Go ahead and give that a listen. Yesterday on the Damn You Hollywood, a listen. Last day on Debut Hollywood.
He's too big.
We reviewed Geostorm. This week on the Source Material podcast, we looked at Planet Hulk. And tomorrow, if Sean can actually get his calling worked out, we are going to do an on trial for Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. God, that was terrible. Next week, we got Damn You Hollywood Jigsaw on Halloween. This Metal Hammer of Doom will be doing our Halloween show November 1st. We'll be looking at Motorhead Undercover. And that's pretty much all I have right now. Jesse, go ahead and do your plugs.
Ah, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, go give that Rattlitch in Broadcasting Network Facebook page a like to stay up on top of all the great podcasts that we have to offer. We usually try to post them over there so you can stay up on top of them. And catch them there at the Facebook. Everybody uses Facebook. Come on. What are you doing? Go ahead and like it. Stay up. You know, stay with it. If not, you can just go to an old webpage called blogtalkradio.com and subscribe. Just search Rattlitch and subscribe to the Rattlitch and Broadcasting Network. We got all sorts of things. I got to update some stuff here. We got a whole bunch of wrestling content, I'm sure, that's going to be coming at you from W2Mnet.com. We just had, what was it, TLC just hit this past Sunday, and we had, we also got football podcasts that show up on there. If you like wrestling, we got wrestling. You could check out my podcast there, Source Material. It's about comic books. It's like a book club for comic book nerds. We sit down and we discuss a storyline that has occurred and how it affected us deeply and emotionally and sometimes made us cry. Or you get to hear Mark singing. And that happened.
This is
yes.
Planet Hulk. Na, da, 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 calling Planet Hulk.
There it was. That was right. And you can check that out. Yeah, Planet Hulk dropped this past Monday. So be also on the lookout. Ronnie Adams, Mark Rattlitch, myself, and the MVP of the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network, Pat Mullen, recorded a commentary episode for Screaming Boys Return. And that commentary was on the 30-year anniversary of the movie Monster Squad. Yes, Mark Rattlesnake's favorite junior high movie. He loved it. Couldn't wait to watch it again. Had nothing but glowing things to say about it. And I may be embellishing
right.
just a little bit. Maybe embellishing that. No, we had a good time. We talked about Wiener Schnitzel and just all sorts of fun stuff. So you can keep an eye out. That'll probably release, I would imagine, sometime around Halloween. Or if Ronnie Adams gets it edited and up and ready to rock and roll, you may see it sooner than that. Other than that, you can follow me at Stiznarkeel on Twitter if you wish to do so. I turn it over to you, Robert Cooper.
Is MVP most valuable Pat?
Is he the only one? We don't have any other Pats on here. We got two Roberts. Only one Pat,
exactly.
Right? Yeah, he's the most valuable.
Right,
for sure.
He's the most valuable Pat. So, plugs. This podcast, I'm on it. We do stuff. Yeah. Then you got Sentai Rider Podcast, a podcast I've not done in what is 3 years now. That's right, kids. Find us on Facebook at Facebook.com. So Sentai Rider Podcast. That is Sentairidio Podcast. Oh, yeah, take us out, too. At least I'm watching it again. That's cool. I'm just taking a break because of horror movies. Hell, I just finished New Japan Pro Wrestling's King of Pro Wrestling the other night. Finally sat down and just trucked through all like 3.5 hours of it. It was a little better than TLC was. I mean, TLC had AJ Styles and Finn Balor. And then Kurt Angle returned, even though in that Shield gear, he just looked like a Make-A-Wish kid. Well, a really old Make-A-Wish kid, let's be honest. Like, he just looked really weird.
Funny.
So it was a little off. Well, yeah, that was a thing. W2Mnet.com, as we already plugged. I was on their preview guide for Kings of Pro Wrestling, and I'll probably be on their preview guide for New Japan Pro Wrestling's Power Struggle event because I pretty much am responsible for a few blurbs every time. And then finally, ScrapingTheBottom.com. My buddy Kevin Merrill's podcast, which I was on like twice, and I'll totally be on some other time, but fuck, that's a 40-minute drive for like an hour-long podcast. And then 40 Ooh. Minutes back.
Damn.
Yeah, it's a bit much. So, I don't know. Well, I've talked to him, though, because like, it was a fun time, even though I didn't listen to. I never listen to my own podcast because I have 113 hours of podcasts on a playlist on this phone. So, yeah. And even though I've Mark Rattlitched it and put it at 1.5 speed, still not getting it done fast enough.
Time to bump it up to 2. I can tell you that I downloaded, it's called Overcast. And you can go to 3, my friend. 3 speed.
I don't think 1.5 is sometimes kind of overdoing it a lot of times because it's like, especially when people laugh, it just sounds like, yeah, it's cool. It's a little weird. A little weird sometimes, but I mean it's all right. I know there's like a skip silence option that's really handy on it. There's a app called Podcast Addict, but like because I have like 22 podcasts I'm subscribed to. Yeah, it gets to be a little much, especially when the podcasts are sometimes 2 hours long. Yeah, it gets especially because at home I'm like listening to a lot of YouTube, which really cuts into that. Darn you, YouTube. Why do you have so many interesting videos on the NBA, even though I don't watch the NBA much? Huh. It's kind of like, you know, when you're up at 3 a.m. and you're like, ho, 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 I'm going to be on Wikipedia reading about the fucking stamen of a plant. Like, you know, I'm going to find everything I can about that. Welcome to...
What are you talking
Welcome
about?
I'm talking about like that rabbit hole you go down at 3 a.m. on Wikipedia where you're just reading about shit that you like never would read about otherwise. Like, you know, parts of the plan. Like the stamen.
Okay.
I yep. By the way, I've got I've got Y'all-Kada, the musical, running in the background here. It's 20 minutes long. And
is it
wonderful? It has subtitles. So feel free to hop in there because it looks like it's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
All right.
I'm here for. Y'all-Kada, the musical.
So, next week,
God,
Motorhead
Undercover.
God, we just
made Jesse laugh like an old prospector.
So we'll be back next week. For Robert Cooper and Jesse Starcher, I am your mandated reporter, Mark Rattledge. Frankly, I'm mortified. Be well, be safe, and behave.
The same.